make sure it's your passion. Otherwise, I don't know if it's worth putting yourself through all of it.
Welcome to Learning from Experience, a podcast for college students and recent grads who want to hear directly from alumni on how they've adjusted their lives post-graduation, including personal stories of success, career readiness, and tips for navigating the real world. Created by the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences at Arizona State University. I'm your host, Megan Finnerty, and today I'm talking with Josh Estes, who is a passionate screenwriter and has worked on shows like CW's Legacies and ABC's The Middle, and recently sold a show, which is a really big deal in that industry. He attended ASU for his undergraduate and master's degree. He earned a degree in journalism in 2013 and then a master's in film studies in 2015. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, yeah. Happy to be here. So like Megan said, I graduated from ASU in 2015. And then shortly after that, moved out to Los Angeles, where I'm currently a freelance screenwriter working in film and television, which means I'm not technically working on one show specifically, staffed on one show right now, but currently developing multiple projects to try to sell them various movies or TV shows. You know, for example, I've developed and then wrote an international crime drama with the producers of Netflix's Ozark. And so we're working on putting the pieces together to try to turn that show into a reality. And I've got a few other projects along those same lines as well, including like a legal pilot for Leonardo DiCaprio's production company. So a lot of different things trying to finally get made. And that's how I spend most of my days, is bouncing around from these multiple projects. And that can be writing them, taking meetings with the producers, pitching those to executives, anything along those lines, in hopes to get one of those sold and then on the air.
Very cool. It sounds like there's a lot of writing that goes on in kind of different veins. Did you always want to be a writer?
Not necessarily. You know, I grew up not really thinking about that at all. And just, you know, was a kid who just played a lot of sports and stuff like that. But, you know, obviously wasn't at the size of 5'7", wasn't going to be playing sports, you know, as my future. And so I kind of looked to maybe possibly going into reporting, which is how I ended up at ASU's Walter Cronkite School. And in there, I really did start to fall in love with writing through journalism, but just felt like it wasn't really hitting a creative itch for me. And in that same time period, I had just started to get exposed to different films and more into television. And that really became a passion for me. And I kind of looked at the two of looking for that creative itch for writing and then that love for film, television, and narrative storytelling, and thought, maybe that's it. And so I applied to ASU's Film and Popular Culture MAS program. And I was like, well, let's just see what happens. And got in and immediately kind of fell in love with screenwriting with my first course with Professor Bradley. And it was, you know, no looking back from there.
So when you look back on that experience, was there, besides Bradley, a certain professor or an opportunity that really stood out that kind of pushed you to say, this is my career, this is my new plan?
Yeah, so there's one thing that really solidified it for me. Outside of Professor Bradley's mentorship and his encouragement, it was a chance to go to Sundance in 2014, which was an absolutely incredible opportunity that ASU put on for some students, and was led by Professor Sandler, Kevin Sandler. And so I got to go out there with a group of about 10 other students. And that was my first real eye-opening experience and being close to anything even related to, you know, the film and television industry. And so being out there in Park City for a week, volunteering, getting to go to screenings, that just kind of confirmed for me, like, okay, this is the crowd I want to be a part of. This is the type of energy. This is the type of creative fulfillment I'm looking for in a career as well. And, you know, and then and even on top of that, too, I made friends on that trip who have made their way to LA as well. One of them is one of my closest friends who I did not know before that trip. And we hang out, you know, at least a couple times a month still. So that opportunity to go to Sundance, I speak about it as much as I can, that I'm so thankful that Professor Sandler selected me for that opportunity and that I got to go do that, because it really kind of solidified things for me.
That sounds like such a great experience to have in college. But then take me to, what do you do? College is coming to an end. You're graduating. You have your master's. How did you decide to move? What was the logistics of that?
So finishing school in May of 2015, prior to that, I was, you know, I was working at USAA in one of their call centers, just doing, you know, insurance to help pay my way through that MAS program. And every now and then the program was online, but every now and then Professor Sandler would have someone actually local in person come to speak. And he would either, this was before we were all on Zoom all the time, but he would, I think it would be on Skype or something, and you could watch the interview, but you could come in if you wanted to as well. Setting all that up to say, I one day was feeling very miserable at my job. All I wanted to do was go write, wanted to get up to LA, really wasn't sure how I was going to do that still. And Professor Sandler said, I'm having someone come in to speak. They're the showrunner's assistant on this show called The Middle. And I said, all right, you know what? I'm going to go in person. I'm calling out of work and I'm going to go in person and meet them because maybe they'll know of a job or something. You know, I had so few connections. So I did. I went and it was just me and her and Professor Sandler and Professor Bradley was there too. And I was the only one who was there in person. And because of that, I got to speak to her a little bit and she offered to, I didn't even have to ask. She said, hey, send along your resume. And I did that. And from there, that turned into a interview to be an office PA on The Middle. And I did that with a production coordinator. And then she said, well, the last thing is after, you know, we'd like to hire you, but the last step is you'd have to meet with our line producer. And he is out in LA. Like he wants to meet you. He needs to meet people in person. And I said, well, good news. I'm coming out to Newport for my brother-in-law's wedding in 2 weeks. I'll happily drive up there. And they met me up on that. And I went and met with the line producer and then went to my brother-in-law's wedding and came back. And they said, you've got the job. You need to start in 3 weeks. And so and my wife and I, you know, I accepted a job paying much less. It was, you know, as a PA, was making $10 an hour, working 50 to 60 hour weeks. You know, I could be in as early as 5 a.m. I could be in, you know, I could be there as late, you know, if I was doing a later shift, could be there as late as 2 a.m., you know, doing coffee, you know, making copies, just all the type of grunt work type of a thing that you would do. But, you know, I knew I had to get my foot in somewhere. And, so we packed up all of our stuff after spending 24 hours in LA the weekend before trying to find a place to live. We found a studio apartment, which was all we could afford, drove to LA, you know, a week later, have been here ever since. So that was in the summer, July of 2015. And yeah, so then I've just, you know, been out here and, you know, that was my first taste of it. And I worked on that show for season 7. I was an office PA and then I got promoted the next year and I was the showrunner's assistant. So the assistant to the two head writers who, you know, I'm still very close with to this day. And I got to work with them for those 2 seasons. And then after that, it was then, you know, go find another job because it's generally a gig industry, right? You know, Hollywood, you are going from one show or one movie to the next thing. And even if you're on a show, there's no guarantee that it's going to last forever. And so you don't have a LinkedIn, but you have an IMDb page. And that's kind of, it's been that ever since. And, you know, popped to, you know, worked on a few other jobs like CW's Legacies. And then from there, I've just been working and writing on my own as well. And, you know, had some opportunities to be able to sell that, make some money and leave assistant work behind. And at this point, you know, try to get another show set up somewhere else. So that's kind of, you know, what, once I got to LA, how I got there, and then what the last few years has kind of looked like.
Very cool. So for students who maybe don't understand the path of, you know, the film and media, TV industry, mm-hmm. just give me a brief overview of, you know, what being a PA means, what some of those roles are.
Yeah. So, I mean, a PA, you know, is a production assistant. A bunch of different ways you could be a PA. You know, some people who want to work on set, you're a set PA. You're helping, you know, you're dealing with extras, you're wrangling extras, you're getting, passing out call sheets, which is what lets you know that your schedule for the following day, letting actors know it's time to come for your trailer to set. You know, there's a bunch of different jobs there. You could be an office PA, which is what I did, where the show I was working on was a little unique at the time where the entire production and the writer's room were all in one building. So we had multiple office PAs that helped with all different departments, which was very, very valuable to me because I got to work with the art department. I got to work with production. I got to work with the writers, which is where I wanted to be. And so it really exposed me to every aspect of making a show. And then, you know, you can be at some shows just have a writer's PA. If, you know, say a show, the writers are all in LA, but the show shoots in Georgia. Well, then you would just have the writers out there. There's one writer's PA, and they're the ones that are picking up lunch every day, making coffee, doing copies, things like that, the grunt work, so to speak. But it's a great way to get your foot in the door and to start to meet other people. Every job I have, I can see the connection from like, oh, this person I met doing this introduced me to this person. And then that's how this project came about. You know, I can look and see those connections. But, you know, but again, it is tough. It's tough. You know, it can be grueling work and the hours aren't the best and the pay is definitely not the best, getting better, but not the best. And I think you really have to make sure it's your passion. Otherwise, I don't know if it's worth putting yourself through all of it.
I was just going to say, you must have a passion for it. if you're willing to go through all the grunt work and really stay and have that be so motivating. When did you come to that conclusion? When did you have a moment where you said, oh, this is my passion, whatever it is, I'm going to stay in it. I'm going to do it.
I don't know if there was one kind of lightning bolt moment as much as there were just different moments that all kind of came together to make me feel that way. I think I've been very fortunate that almost every project I've worked on is especially coming up, you know, from ASU and then coming up the assistant ranks. I've always had someone who has been a mentor to me. And when I was working on the middle, my first day as a PA, you know, we're kind of the fear of God's kind of putting you about the writers, don't talk to them, leave them alone, you know, don't be annoying, don't ask them to read your scripts, anything like that. So I was just like, I'm going to steer clear of them for now. It's my first day. I was the last of the four PAs to start. So I didn't know anyone. And I went to go pick up lunch that day, you know, with one of the other PAs who's showing me the ropes, and we're setting the lunch up. And this woman comes over and she says, she introduces herself and she's one of the writers on the show, or she's a consulting producer on it. And she introduces herself and says, hi, my name's Corby. What do you want to do? Because I know you don't want to be a PA. I was like, okay, well, yeah, I'd like to be a writer. And she said, well, I tell every PA, I will read your stuff, but I will not be easy on you, because no one will be easy on you. So don't just give me something right now, make sure it's ready, and then I'll happily read it. And so I did. I waited some time, maybe like 6 or 7 months, because to give her a pilot that I was working on. And her validation to me in saying, like, you know, she's an Emmy award. She was the showrunner of Murphy Brown for years, won multiple Emmys. And I didn't, you know, but for me, she was just someone who came up and said that, and her validation, letting me know I could do this, and then encouraging me and also pushing me, really lit a fire under me that kind of just burned and turned even into more of a passion. So yeah, I think it was kind of a multiple, you know, one step up the ladder. And each time, you know, you find a little bit, you pick up a little bit more passion, or you learn a little bit more. And that it was never so simple for me. It always was kind of a journey.
That sounds beautiful. I mean, that's great. And having that encouragement around you just to keep doing what you're doing. Because they say having a passion is great, but sometimes, you know, it's a fire that burns out. But it sounds like you've been able to really just keep that flame and move forward. I bet as a screenwriter, then coming to a place where you're looking to sell your first show has to be a huge benchmark.
Yeah, that, you know, you move out here to do is to get staffed and, you know, get staffed and then, you know, eventually want to sell your own show. And I kind of went backwards a little bit before ever getting staffed on a show and writing on someone else's show, went and sold something on my own. But I wasn't just on my own. I actually, for years, from 2015, when I first moved to LA, I had two friends who were also ASU graduates from the journalism school. One of them back in the late 90s, and then another one who was I met actually just sitting in the back of a class one day, but we all became friends. And one of them came to me and said, I have an idea. He's a, you know, sports journalist. They both are. I have this idea. And so he's like, I don't know how to write for, you know, TV or whatever, but I think it's a good idea. And so we worked on it for 5 or 6 years. None of us were living in the same location. We were doing Zoom meetings before everyone was doing Zoom meetings, trying to get this, you know, this pilot together. And along the way, we got producer attached. His name is Basil Iwanek. He's produced movies like The Town, the John Wick movies, Sicario, the most recent A Star is Born, and which was, you know, him coming aboard was great for us. And then on top of that, because it was a sports related show and in the world of basketball, we looked to see if we wanted to get an athlete that kind of validates it to buyers as well. And we were very fortunate that we quickly added NBA Hall of Famer Dwayne Wade as an executive producer on the project as well. And so about 2 years ago, my two friends and I and the producers, we went out into the marketplace in the middle of COVID, which looking back was ridiculous that we thought, hey, let's just go try to sell this show while everyone's sitting at home. But we did. We went out and we sold that show to HBO Max and then spent the last 2 years developing that for them and writing various scripts and, you know, working with the executives over there who were, you know, you hear horror stories, but they were absolutely lovely to work with. And so worked on that. And now, you know, unfortunately, HBO Max has gone through some changes and there's some new leadership over there. So we're currently looking for another home for that show to get it set up. So, but, you know, it was an amazing, amazing experience, an amazing chance to, you know, sell a show. Was a dream come true. And, you know, now the next step is to do it again, either with that show or something else. And then, you know, hopefully try to get the next one on the air you know, and actually go and get it made.
It sounds like at this time, you learned so much from experience already. Tell me what your advice would be to students who are looking to be in your shoes one day.
Speak from experience, especially if you want to be a writer or do anything that's creative. You know, I personally can't really write anything without pouring part of myself into it. So when you get rejections, those can be very hard. And so the best thing is just to don't let the no's hit too hard, because there's going to be more of them. The show we sold to HBO Max, everyone else told us no first. All we needed was one yes. That's all you ever need. And so we got, I don't know how many no's, 11 maybe, but the last meeting we had was HBO Max. They said yes. We got to go, you know, get paid to write the show that we just created as friends. So that's the biggest thing I can say as a writer or doing anything really creative. And at the same time, because it is so subjective, it's just to trust yourself. Do what you're interested in. I'll tell you, I've been in enough times with my managers or something like that, and they'll be like, well, this is what the marketplace is looking to buy right now. Or I don't know who's going to buy this. Trust your passion. Trust your gut. Write what you want to write. I hate to admit, I have definitely taken a job for something that I was very unsure about. And it wasn't something I was super passionate about. And I was just like, you know what? Maybe I'm just supposed to do this. And it was a tough experience. And it taught me to just like, I should have listened to my gut. And then I would probably also say, this is not something that I took a huge advantage of. I wish I would have in hindsight, because I can see the success that it's led to for some of my friends out here, is just to intern as much as you can. I highly, highly suggest getting out here as much as you can. You're just going to have a foot up on everyone else because of it's so much about a gig economy, so much about who you know, just from a sense of not like powerful people, but just friends, people who can, you know, put you up for jobs and let you know what jobs are available. And then the last thing I would probably say is, don't say you can only do, you know, one thing, because that can change. There is so much in the industry, so many different jobs. I mean, I know, I thought I knew, and then I came out here and was, you know, thrown onto a set on day one, and was, you know, it was eye opening to me. And so I know a lot of people will come out here because they want to either direct or produce or write or act or, you know, one of the types of jobs that people really praise. But there's so much great work that can be done, props work, artwork, all of that. So I would just say also when you're out here, be passionate, follow what you're looking for, but also be open as well to see what can lead into other directions, because it can change and there's just so many possibilities as well. So I think between those four, don't let the nose hit hard, trust yourself, intern as much as you can, and just kind of be open for any kind of possibility. I think if you do those four on your way out here, it'll, you know, it's not going to be easy. It's not easy for me right now, but it'll definitely make it a little bit easier.
I also love what you mentioned about, you know, it's kind of an industry where you need to know people. So it's so great that you came on this podcast today, because maybe there are students in the college right now where you will be the next person that they will know. What would be the best way for students if they wanted to connect with you? How could they reach out to you?
Yeah, I think the best way, if anyone wants to reach out, you could either do it on Twitter, JP_Estes, or on Instagram, which is just Josh Estes, one word. You reach out on either of those. DMs are typically open for all of that. So if anyone would like to reach out, please, I'd be happy to talk and share anything else or answer any questions.
To hear more alumni advice, head to our episode page wherever you listen to podcasts. You can check out the college's YouTube channel or visit thecollege.asu.edu/LFE podcast. See you next time.